Good morning to everyone, and I want to thank you all for being patient with me. Amen. I'm not going to make any excuses, but I'm going to say this here, that I thank God for being here on this morning. If you will, could you please turn with me, amen, to the sixth chapter of St. John. And when you get it, say amen. And we're going to be dealing, amen, with St. John 6, 35, and 6, and 50. The subject this morning is going to be, what are you eating? What are you eating? Amen. We know, amen, that Jesus had spoke to the disciples, and he was saying to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. And the reason why he came to say it like that is because their understanding could only comprehend the fact that to take an earthly parable and turn it into a revelation. Amen. What are you eating? Amen. The company we keep. Amen. It's very important because any and every company that we keep could possibly be a situation where it could dampen our spirit and we not know it. Let us look for an example. When you turn a computer on and when you pull up Google, every time you put a search engine in there, cookies come in behind the back door. And when they come in behind the back door, after a while, you notice that when you keep turning your computer on day in and day out, it gets slower and it gets slower and it gets slower because all of that stuff done came in and done lodged into your hard drive. Well, it's the same with the human mind, that if we keep a certain company, and even though they are friends, they cussing, they fussing, they doing this, they doing that, that stuff deposits in our spirit. And for some reason or another, the world right now is nullified. We're numb to what Satan is doing. So the stuff keeps getting ingested, and it keeps getting ingested. And so we come to a point to say, well, after a while, well, Lord, I'm not able to feel you like I used to feel you. I'm not able to even feel enthused about some of the things of God that I used to feel enthused about. And it takes me a little longer to get my groove on as far as connecting with Christ. That's dangerous. That's dangerous, especially in this day and in this time. Because what Satan wants us to do, he wants us to be so nullified and dull, amen, that it breaks, amen, the harmony of the fellowship with Christ. We can't do it through ritual because that we found out that don't work. He stopped the fact of the bulls and the goats and the blood on the altar. He stopped all that because that wasn't doing no good. He stopped when the priest was running in there and running out and talking to the people and, yeah, everything going to be all right. And the money changed hands. And then the people still was living a life that was less than adequate for God. And what did God do? He said, I've got to do a new thing. I've got to come in now and establish it where it will be spiritual and not carnal. But we're still fighting the same fight, the carnality, because we're in a mortal body. Amen. And a lot of times you hear people saying, well, I'm only human. Okay, but now that you're connected with Christ, you're supposed to be a new creature. Amen. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen. A new revelation, a new walk, a new talk, a new frame of mind. Hallelujah. A new expectation. I'm not expecting what I used to expect. I'm expecting better. I'm not where I used to be. I'm a little higher than that now. And I couldn't get there on my own. I can't take the credit for what he brought me out of, because at the time that he brought me out, hallelujah, my mind was messed up. My spirit was messed up. My soul was messed up. And it wasn't no water. It wasn't no soap. It wasn't no kind of degreaser. It wasn't nothing earthly that could clean it but the word of God. And as I began to eat the word of God, hallelujah, I began to realize that there was a change in my life. As I began to know him more, and as I began to know him more, I began to realize that I felt better being in the presence of God and doing the things of God, because now my appetite and my characteristics craved those things. But I found out, like Paul said, that in my members, when I desired to do good, evil was before me. Every time I turned around to do something good, to say something good, to have an expectation of good, evil was right there to tear me down and to pull me down. And I began to meditate and I said, well, Lord, why? Why? Then the Spirit gave me a revelation and said, you know what? If Slewfoot can stop you now, then 2 or 3 years when I need you to do this particular ministry or whatever, you're going to have been knocked out of the way. Because if I stop you now, you can't reach your destiny to bless others. So what do? We have to stay connected with God, because the Bible said that we are watchmen on the wall. And we have to watch first for our own souls, then for the souls of others. But how do we do this watch? What are the skills and the capabilities and the instruments of the watch? Well, first of all, discerning of spirits. I don't care if you're a brother. You don't have to be an apostle or a bishop or nothing like that. You can just be a brother, but have a good, strong discerning of the spiritual aspects of what's going on behind the scenes. If you could pull the curtain back now as I speak, you would realize that there is two entities there. One willing to do the good and to fight for the people of God, and the other one to drag the people of God down, to want to slay them, to want to kill them, to want to stop them, to want to put them in a position where they will not be of any use to God. That's dangerous when you can't see what's coming. You walk across the street and here comes the bus and you jump. And right before it hits you, you jump back up. But what if you couldn't see the bus? It would hit you and knock you down, run you over and kill you. It's the same connotation in the spirit world. Whatever we don't see could possibly be there hovering to just wait for that intricate moment to take us out. Amen. Conversation. How is our conversation? Is it the same as it used to be, or is it chased with careful words and discreetness within the bounds of the gospel? It's very important, because they are spirit and they are life. And every time we speak something out, he said it in his word, it will not go back. It will not return back to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I've sent it to do. So whatever you're speaking out is going somewhere, and something is going to come back as a result. Thank you, Lord. For every action, there is a reaction. House prayed up. That's the main area right there. That's the main area right there. The house. You talking about the Battle of Gettysburg. You talking about World War I and World War II. You talking about the Korean War. In the house. all kind of can on in the house. You leave here today, and it's not to signify or call anybody out. It's not to say anything bad. But you leave here today and you go back home, and then you got your business at home. But if you really think about it, in the house would be the very area where you could get attacked. Because you done let your guard, oh, I'm home now. Oh, I can relax. And all of a sudden, when things start to come in, you know, you're not in that mindset to say, you know what, this could be the devil. I need to put some prayer on this. So we get ambushed. From one point to another, we get ambushed, and we're not sensing that. And then Jesus, the disciple said, well, Lord, why couldn't we cast these devils out? He said, this kind goeth out by fasting and prayer. The disciplines, being disciplined to fast, being disciplined to pray, being disciplined to read the word. Oh, but in a carnal sense, I done that all these years. It done got old, but you know, I'm still trying to make my way. You making your way, or you in the way? Or you out of the way? Or you ain't got no way at all, and whatever it is that's got you having its way with you, instead of you containing and conforming to control it. Is the ball in your court? Are you on the winning team? Are you still playing to win? Or have you got so wounded that you don't even realize that you're even bleeding? Oh, I'm tired of this. Oh, I'm tired of that. Oh, I'm sick of this. I don't want to go through that. We say it all the time. And when we speak them words, Slewfoot is right there. Oh, so that's where they at. Ah, I done got an effect on them. And he end up turning your world upside down. Places of pleasure. Bowling alleys. Movies, parks. A lot of that stuff ain't bad, but it's the mindset going in and coming out that Christ is concerned about. It's not the fact that any of this is bad. I don't know if any of you all remember about 30 years ago where they had those churches where they were preaching against the movies. They was preaching against the TVs. The women had to wear cotton stockings and had to wear a hat on their head, a covering on their head. You remember them kind of churches? Amen. And they were saying at that time that if your kids went to school and played ball, all y'all was going to hell. All that kind of stuff. We came up under all of that strict code of all of that thing. But come to find out, it's a mindset. It's a mindset. It's not the fact that any and all of those activities are wrong, but they become wrong if you worship them. They become wrong, amen, if you regard them more than the things of God. And they become wrong is if you're investing all of your time unto those things than unto the Lord. That's when they become wrong, but they in themselves is not wrong, because we have to be able to discern that which is right as opposed to that which is wrong. Those things which are pure and those things which are not pure. But come to find out that when Christ, amen, had talked to the people and the Sadducees and the Pharisees, he was telling them, he said, well, I'll tell you what, fellas. He said, you all are talking about the law and everything, but your hearts ain't right. All right. Your mind ain't right. And so when he came, they couldn't understand that he didn't come to in the authority of trying to get the Jews together as a nation to fight Rome or to fight Palestine or to fight any of the surrounding nations at that particular time, not in a literal sense of war and battling with bloodshed, but this is a spiritual battle. And it starts in the mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He said, I do the will of the Father. So obviously he must have had kept his mind on the Father. In the things of the Father. To love the things of the Father. And to shun the very appearance of evil. And what's so bad today is that once we fall, it's so bad that we don't get up and we wallow and then it just takes us all the way out. And then somebody is saying, well, you know, I didn't know they was down that low like that. Well, yeah. Well, look what came in the back door. And look how long it was on them. And finally took them out. This ain't no miracle, no minute process. It took a little while for Satan to work on certain individuals before he accomplished his goal of taking them out. That's what we have to be aware of. And that's the spiritual importance of we have to have our minds on him. Nothing else but him. And it's a battle. You ever notice that when you go to want to do something, then all of a sudden, well, I'm going to pray. About 2 o'clock, I'm going to pray. I'm going to read my Bible. 12:35, the phone rang. 1 o'clock, the wife is saying, baby, I need you. 1:45, the kids are running around in the house, and they ain't never been that bad that day. And so when you look at all of that stuff and you're dealing with it every day, come to find out, amen, that there might be something behind it. Well, do my wife have the devil in her? No. Do my kids have the devil in them? No. But look at the activities that possibly right at the time you had said, okay, last week I didn't do it, Lord. This week I'm going to do it. I'm going to pray. I'm going to set a time to da-da-da-da. And then, bam, something comes in the way. And now you got to deal with that. And now you got to ingest that. And so now you're eating of that. That's a serious situation. Real serious situation. Thoughts of the heart. When you go to do for God, complications arise. It's always going to be complicated because your soul is at stake. It's always going to be complicated because you have a God to serve and a devil in a hell to churn. It's always going to be complicated because he had placed in you a ministry. And when he has placed that ministry in you, then you ever heard that term, for every level there is a new devil. You come out of being a brother to being a much more serious brother. There's some more devils. Much more serious devil to a deacon. Some more devils. From a deacon to an ordained deacon, and then you're going up the ladder, and then now you're just fighting, and you're just fighting, and you're just fighting. Well, how is it that we climb up on all of them levels, and we got to have all of them fights, but yet and still we don't see the other side of the picture? Everywhere he placed me, in every duty and responsibility that he placed me, he gave me power and authority in each and every one of those circumstances to overcome whatever it was for the duties and responsibilities that he had deposited into my spirit. He didn't leave me out there hanging. Oh, you's a brother, so da-da-da-da. You're just going to have to hang in the balances on your own. You can't, flesh and blood can't fight some of the battles that we have fought or that we're going to fight or that we're fighting now. Flesh and blood can't deal with that. A 357 can't do it. Then you hear some people, well, I would choke that old devil if I can get a. No, you can't choke him. By you saying that, he's probably getting ready to choke you. Woo! Ah! Because now you're telling where you are. You're using carnal words to let him know how mad you are, so you're still not using what you're supposed to use. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. And then it said, pulling down strongholds? Something that has really got you gripped. But where has it got you gripped? Has it got you gripped in your heart, in your liver, in your spleen, in your stomach? Is it gout in the leg? No. He don't care nothing about that. He wants to attack your mind. It's your mind that he wants. Jesus said, Who do thou say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, except that it was through my Father. He will reveal to us what we need to know at that particular time so that we can deal with what we have to deal with. But we have to stay hooked up. We have to stay connected. And we have to stay secure in the fact of the word. The world is going forth now faster than it ever has. Signs, wonders, and circumstances are being fulfilled in this Bible. Wars and rumors of wars. Earthquakes, divers, meaning different places. Chaos everywhere on every side. Nations against nations. Kingdoms falling. Unity of families disintegrating. Brothers and sisters shooting and killing one another. Children, which is the future of this generation, leaving here faster than anything that you could imagine. Mothers in their minds killing their kids. Men beating their wives to death. Jails and prisons are so full and overflowing that they're having to build more institutions to incarcerate the many. But I wonder what would it be like if the church would pray. All right. I wonder what would it be like, would the devil have a lot of leeway in the situation if we all prayed? Well, I'm Reverend Gumshoe, and we're doing what we can over here. Well, I'm Reverend Arcee over here on the south side, and we're doing what we can over there. And you hear that, and you hear that, and you hear that. But what about all of us collectively? Somebody call somebody, somebody call somebody, somebody call somebody, and say, you know what? 2 o'clock on Tuesday. Tell all of your membership, whether they're on their job or whatever, to take out about 5 minutes of their time and just bow their heads wherever they are and let us pray so we can pull down the stronghold. Because the weapons of our warfare can and shall and will work if we work. The pastor said all the time, he said, let the Lord work in you. Let his word work in you. And so I began to say, well, there's a lot to that. Let it work in me. Let it save me. Let it keep me. But come to find out, he wants a disciple so that I can be equipped to tell somebody else how I got to where I am now. Amen. It's no good to him If I could just say, well, you know, I'm saved and sanctified. I'm filled with the precious gift of God's Holy Ghost. But then I'm not able to tell another individual how to be saved. We're struggling. Membership, we're struggling. Nobody want to be saved. The churches did. All them excuses. Okay? But you ain't got no excuse when you want to go to your job. Well, I got to make it. Got to make it to Friday. I can get that check. Well, what about making it to church so that you can go to heaven? What about making it to church so that you can learn about eternal life? Because we only got 20, 30, 40, 60, 80, 90 years upon the face of the earth. And after that, we're done. And if we live to be 100, if we live to be 200, so what? We're still going to have to leave here. So we've got to put an investment. And I like that. 401ks, stock market, money market. I like all of that. But the best investment that I've ever found was then when I put my trust in Jesus. Amen. Ephesians 1 and 4, and we're going to be closing. And when you have it, say amen. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight in love. He predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. Predestined us. Lord, I'm going through. He predestined us. Lord, I'm hurting. He predestined us. So what are you saying? What are you saying, Brother Blue? He knew I was going to have pain because he had predestined me, and he already had seen my end when he had made me to come to my beginning. When he called me, he had already finished the work of what I was going to do and what I was going to face and what I was going to become and what I am now and what I shall always ever be if I stay linked up with him. He predestined me. He seen what I was going to be going through on today. He seen what I was going to be going through as of yesterday. But he made a way out of no way for me. Because I'm chosen. You're chosen. You're not just, well, one day I just made up my mind to be saved and I decided to give my heart to the Lord. He had to have predestined that had called you before the foundation of the world for you to be where you are right now. It's funny, though, that, you know, and a lot of times it ain't our fault when we don't know. But it is our fault once we come to the realization that it's not about us, but it's about him. The devil is trying to take us out. The devil is trying to stop ministries. The devil is trying to tear up homes. But if we pray, and if we stay connected in the will of God and in the things that he told us, how many of us know that he can give you a revelation right now and before you get home, you done forgot it? Before you get home, amen, your mind's on 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 other things. It's designed like that because it's a press. You have to press. You ain't going to freely just walk in the will of God. You're up against principalities that you can't see. And you got to press. You got to push with your faith. And how do you know of the results of that? And I'm closing. Well, first of all, your joy. You think back now on the things that you know good and well you wasn't going to stomach. But now you can smile at them. Your growth. The things that you would have jumped out the car and grabbed a hold of somebody and just told them this, that, and the other. But now you said, Lord, have your way. Thank you for your grace. Bless them, save them, keep them. Your growth. Do you think the devil like that? He wants you to go back. He wants you to go back. Ooh, I would have just, and I would, and you, no, it's his grace that's keeping us. But we have to eat the right foods. All what y'all done ate today was good. I see watermelon was on the table and other different things, and I know that everything was sumptuous, and that's nice for that natural body. But Lord have mercy, when you start to going back, and then I know you done ate a little bread maybe earlier today when you before you came here, and last night and a few days ago, I know you done ate a little of this bread. But the bottom line is, this bread is a special bread. And if you eat of it, you will hunger and thirst no more. They wondered why, and we're closing. They wondered why was Paul able to do the things that he did. I said, well, why is it that Paul look like he do the things just like Jesus? Because whatever it took for Jesus as he was coming along, and the things that he did of fasting and of prayer and of solitude and all, you find out that Paul did those things. You ever find in your spirit sometime that you want to get away from everything and just be, have a peace and a quiet, to just have a time to just talk with the Father? That's your special time. And if the Lord is touching your heart on that area, obey that, because he is nurturing you for something that's getting ready to come. And you've got to hear the Father to be able to know how to handle what's coming your way. Prayer, talking to God. There ain't nobody else better to talk to. I love talking to my pastor. I love talking to Minister Vincent. I love talking to all of the different ones, Bishop Scott and all of you all. I love all of that. But there ain't nothing that could substantiate or negate talking to the Father. He is the chief and number one individual that before you do anything, you need to talk to him. Before you do your mortgage, talk to God. Before you buy a car, talk to God. Before you even talk to your wife, talk to God. Before you even talk to your children, talk to God. Woo! Before you do anything, talk to God. Well, preacher, you say you about to close. It looked like you done went off in another direction. But what do you mean by all of this? I mean, what kind of substantial proof do you have of what you're saying? Well, I need to talk to God. I talks to God, okay? But how many of us know that the Bible says David was a man after God's own heart? That if there was any person that was really wicked, but he was righteous too, it was David. If it was a person that was despicable in the eyesight of God, and God wanted to destroy him, but he would go right back and cry out to God, and God would have mercy on him. Why? Because when he came to God with a sincere heart. That was the difference. That's what made the difference of what David was and what he was made out of. That his mindset was that he was a serious individual. Well, Lord, and then let this man not think of this because he's double-minded and they got a double standard. No, David wasn't like that. David said, I know God gonna give me what I want because I'm sincere in asking him and he's going to give it to me. And so I encourage you all today and let us stand. And I encourage you today.